welcome to the Graces Brave podcast. I'm Chris Kratzer, and welcome to the show. So glad you're listening today, and I hope you enjoy today's episode titled Over the Rainbow. And what we're talking about is becoming LGBTQ affirming. You say, what's affirming? Well, it's the idea that people in the LGBTQ community, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, that those people are not living in sin. Those people are not flawed people. Those people are not abominations. They're not people who are depraved. They are people instead who God affirms. They're people who are divinely created, that their LGBTQ qualities are divinely created and reside in the tapestry of God's beautiful creation. They are affirmed, not condemned. That's what that means. And I want to tell you this right off the bat, and I know this is going to stir the pot for some of you, and I know this is going to be a challenging statement for some of you, but here's the deal. To be LGBTQ is not a choice. People don't wake up one day and say, hey, you know what? I think I'm just going to be gay. I'm just going to be transgender. People don't wake up like that. It's not a choice. It's who they are. You didn't choose what color eyes you have. In the same way, people in the LGBTQ community did not choose this for their lives. It's not a lifestyle. But it is a choice. Listen to me very carefully. It is a choice to be LGBTQ affirming. It is a choice. Or to be LGBTQ condemning. That's a choice. See, people ask me because they know who I've been. They know the kind of conservative evangelical pastor I was, the hellfire preaching, gay condemning, hating pastor I used to be. They're wondering, how in the world, brother, did you ever become LGBTQ affirming? How did that happen? Because this issue, even if people don't really admit it, it's stirring inside of them. They have questions or wondering. It's a big deal. And for many, as it did for me, it takes a level of bravery to even explore it honestly. See, when I tell you this story about who I was as a pastor, it's hard for me to tell it because I just can't believe this was me. It's like this other person who was living a different me in the past. I was a Southern Baptist pastor of a fairly medium-sized to large-sized church, maybe 500, 600, 700 people at the time. And this nice member of the congregation, this lady came up to me during the week and she said, you know, hey, Pastor Chris, I'm going to be bringing a friend with me to church on Sunday. And this friend happens to be lesbian. And I was just hoping, you know, that you would be, you know, okay with that. And, you know, in your message, you would be prepared for that and that you would, you know, be loving and she was really trying to kind of pave the way for her friend to be comfortable in church. And she wasn't demanding anything. She didn't tell me, hey, Chris, this is what I want you to say. No, she was very gentle, very humble about it. And she just wanted her friend to be comfortable. And she wanted me to assure her, in a sense, particularly in the message, that it was going to be welcoming. Oh, word. Well, man, when I got to the message prep for that week, I had her in the back of my mind. And lo and behold, and you're not going to believe this, but lo and behold, that Sunday I got up and I was getting into the message and somehow I tied it in topically to the message. And I got out there and said, you know what? God loves everybody. But if you're here today and you're lesbian or you're gay, you need to repent. You need to turn your life around. You need to pray that gay away. You need to transition out of that thing. You need to get right with God, and God will take that spirit of the devil out of you. And not very long after I spewed that vomit, in the back of the church, those two ladies walked out. And I cheered myself. I was like, oh, okay, finally. You know, hey, I did my job, and I was greeted with the high fives of the congregation. Yeah, that's the way you tell it, preacher. You tell them the truth, preacher. And I felt so righteous. And so people wonder, how in the world, when you're a person like that, can you become a person like you are now, who has become a voice for that community of affirmation, divine approval, and acceptance and beauty? Well, I would say it began in a relationship that I had, a friendship that I developed with a lesbian woman that I had worked with. And in that relationship, I remember I just, out of curiosity, I just listened to her, and without her knowing it, I began to interview her about her sexuality. And I began to ask questions, you know, and listen to her story. And I realized that, holy crap, the person I'm seeing right in front of me, living, breathing, beautiful person in front of me who's lesbian, is not anything like the homosexuality issues that we have talked about in the Bible. And with that relationship and that curiosity, I began to become willing. I must become willing, because these two worlds are colliding. The person in front of me and the issue of homosexuality in the Bible, they're colliding. They're not in unison. They're nothing like each other. And so I began to ask the question in my heart, holy shit, Chris, maybe you're wrong. Maybe you've gotten this whole homosexuality issue wrong, and you've condemned people to a hell that God has so beautifully affirmed and created. And maybe you're an asshole, Chris. Maybe you're a freaking asshole, and that's the real truth we need to deal here. And so I began to raise all those questions. And with those questions, I went and I studied and I studied, and I was willing to look at writers and scholars and Jesus lovers and truth lovers who actually read the same damn passages in the Bible that I'd been using to condemn people. And they saw and they interpreted with their scholarship that indeed those passages were accepting and affirming of the LGBTQ community. I realized that there are actually Jesus-adoring, biblical, intelligent, truth-seeking, truth-adoring, desiring biblical scholars who read the same freaking Bible that I do and see it as accepting and affirming as the LGBT community. And quite frankly, their arguments and their points of view are a hell of a lot better and more truthful. And I realized that me, whether I condemn the LGBTQ community or I affirm them and use the Bible to do so, it is a freaking choice. It is a choice. And it's a choice that I alone have to make. And I choose to affirm. In fact, I wrote an article not long after that transition began in me. It's an article that you probably are going to want to read. It's titled A Six-Pack of Biblical Gay Affirmation. You can find it at chriskratzer.com. Just go to my blog, chriskratzer.com. Just put in the search section A Six-Pack of Biblical Gay Affirmation, and the article will come right up. It's very easy. And in that article, I go through line by line, verse by verse, the six clobber passages, the only passages in the Bible, the six clobber passages that people use, like I did, to condemn the LGBTQ community and tell them they're demons and they're abominations and they're going straight to hell in a handbasket. And I wrote that article showing how biblical scholarship can actually show that those articles either A, have nothing to do with LGBTQ community, or they actually are affirming of it and accepting of it. And I go line by line, verse by verse. And when you read that article, you're going to have a freaking choice. You're going to have a choice. A, am I going to be affirming, or B, am I going to be condemning? Because there, you can biblically find a way to do both, and it's a choice. See, how we read the Bible and how we interpret the Bible has far less to do with how we should see God and far more who we are and who we are as people. See, the truth always opens the door to unconditional love. See, that's what happened to me. I came to a truth that realized this Bible is gay affirming, gay accepting. And I came to that truth and realized I can choose that truth. And when I chose that truth, it opened the door to unconditional love. I could unconditionally love people who I've hated. I could let the spigot wide open and love people and not pre-qualify them for love, not be distanced in my love for them, but actually I could let it all out because the truth had set me free, and the truth had set me free to freely love. The very people who I demonized now become angels in my eyes. See, people, and listen, you're not going to like what I'm about to say. And it's going to challenge you wherever you are in your affirmation or condemnation. Because there are people, some of you are out there who go, yeah, I love gay people. I love the LGBT community. But you go to a church that would say, yes, we're welcoming. Yeah, you can come in. You can be LGBTQ part of that community. And we're going to love you. And we're going to embrace you. And we're going to take your money. We might let you sit in the choir. But no, you can't serve on the leadership team. No, you can't be on the board. No, I'm not sure we're going to have you teach Sunday school. Folks, that's not affirming. That's plain. That's plain. And some of you are there, and I'm just going to say it this way. People who are anti-gay, people who are semi-affirming, people who are that way are because they want to be. Because the truth is, you can see every passage in the Bible that's used to condemn the LGBTQ community, and you can see them in a brand new way, but it's your choice. It's just as biblical, scholarly, truth-loving, Jesus-loving to be affirming as anybody has ever said it is to be condemning. And see, for a lot of people, they aren't willing to conjure up the bravery to pay the costs. I remember one guy in our worship team, this was at a church that I started that was progressive. And we were progressive in the sense that, you know, it didn't matter what people believed really about a lot of things, that our unity was based upon what we were willing to actually disagree about. Our unity was about our love and our willingness to do life together, regardless of where you are on your spiritual journey. And so we put that out there all the time. And so in a couple of weeks, I was going to do a message where I talked about the clobber passages and how you can see those clobber passages completely differently in an affirming way. And one of the people on the worship team pulled me aside a week or so in advance and said, "Hey, Chris, I just can't be there for that message." And I said, "Hey, man, dude, what's the problem?" And he says, I just can't be there. And I'm like, "Is there something going on?" I said, "Man, you don't have to believe, you know, what I talk about there. You know, you don't have to, you know, agree to it. Nothing's going to change." And I said, hey, man, what's the problem? And he looked me right in the eye. He said, Chris, what I'm afraid of is that you're going to convince me. Another couple, right after I gave that message, they came up to me after the service and said, hey, Chris, it's not that we can't, you know, get our heads around what you're talking about. It's not that we can't believe what you're about to say. It's not that we can't see the Bible in the way that you talked about and being affirming and all. It's that we just don't know what's going to happen to our friendships, to our family relationships, to our work relationships when they find out this is how we feel and believe. See, it takes bravery to consider that, hey, you know what? Maybe you're wrong. It takes bravery to listen. It takes bravery to see and hear the humanity and divinity in a person you once demonized. It takes bravery to choose to be LGBTQ affirming. It takes bravery to love unconditionally. You know, a lot of times people will try to debate me about this issue, and they'll try to get online and make comments and debate me. And what I've learned is that I've got to push the pause button on those debates. And what I do is when people come at me like that, I realize that there's nothing good that's going to come out of that. They're just there to prove their point and to solidify their beliefs. And so what I do is I push the pause button. I say, hey, listen, here's what I want to do. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to go, first of all, I want you to build 2 to 3 relationships with people in the LGBTQ community. And while you're doing that, I want you to go into those relationships with the authentic desire to truly listen to their story. And while you're listening to their story, I want you to consider truthfully that you might be wrong about how you feel about this issue. And while you are considering that you might be wrong, I want you to read books and articles from people whom with you would disagree about this issue. I want you to read affirming books. I want you to read books that show how you can read those same passages that condemn in the Bible, and you can read those as actually be affirming and accepting. And I want you to do all that. And then when you've done all that, I would love to come back and have this conversation with you. And I can tell you that 97% of those people never come back for the conversation. You know why? Because they don't want to. They don't want to. And so I just want to challenge you today, whether you are on the spectrum of affirmation or condemnation, I want to challenge you to be brave, because whether you're fully LGBTQ affirming or you are fully LGBTQ condemning, the choice is yours. You don't have to be that way. And the truth will always open the door to loving unconditionally. See, I became LGBTQ affirming because of an issue of truth. I didn't have a dog in the hunt. I don't have a gay child that I was trying to twist my faith into in order to affirm them. I didn't have any reason to change, only that the truth changed me and opened the door to love freely and love unconditionally. And once you taste and see that it is good, oh man, you will never go back. Because grace is brave. So be brave. Well, that's it for this podcast. Wow. I hope you enjoyed it. And listen, what I'd love you to do is, first of all, subscribe to whatever platform you're listening to this on and share it with other people. That would be great. Hey, if you want to send me a comment or a question, you can do that through Facebook, we now have a Facebook page devoted to this podcast. So you can go there. Just look up Grace's Brave, Be Brave in the search part of Facebook, and it'll take you to that page. You can go on there, ask questions, make comments. Love for you to do that. Again, share this podcast with other people. And you know what? Already we have a person who's become a donor who gives generously each month to this podcast. So love for you to do that. And but spread the word. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Grace is brave. Be brave. Love you. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.